And a good Wednesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. Got a long ways to go. We got 4 hours, but the way these shows have been going of late, it'll be four fast-moving hours. Darren McFarland, that's me down here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donick is standing by in East Nashville. Chase McCabe in Bellevue out on the west side, while Elijah Campbell's back at our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. The Big Ten has announced they're going to play football in October. Are you sitting? Oh, yes, we are all sitting, and we're not that surprised. Of course, Nebraska's president probably helped it not be a surprise today when he had the open mic and kind of let the cat out of the bag. But nonetheless, it is official, and they are going to play football in October. Your thoughts?
Not surprised.
Yeah, you can't be surprised. I think this has been coming for a while. It's been a pretty relentless push from a lot of sources. I give them credit for not giving up, staying with it, figuring out how to, you know, without just beating down the door. I think there was somewhere in here, and I'm anxious to hear what comes out of the discussion when they sort of unveil this officially. How they swayed the medical people to feel, to have them feel. Because I think what you're hearing, the little tidbits I've heard, is they've come up with a testing system that has everybody feeling a lot better about the efficiency of, as Dr. Alan Sills said on Inside the NFL, feeling good that when everybody comes in the facility, that nobody's infected. If you can have that feeling, then I think you know, the medical people, that's all they can. You know, what can they say to that? If everybody, nobody has it, everybody's here, they've been tested, tests are good, let's play. I think if you have that system, that really gives you a lot of confidence that you can do this. And even the most cautious medical person would have to say, okay, you've satisfied me.
The system that all the other conferences have been doing, is that the system you're talking about? All the testing and
well, it goes back to when did they make this decision?
Conferences have been right. Okay, so I'm not going to give them any credit. Well, I know Jalen Rose did today on Get Up As I Spit Out My Coffee, laughing. I'm not going to give them credit. By the way, what happened to myocarditis or whatever it's called, the heart condition? What happened to that?
I hope that's addressed today because I feel like along the lines,
did it just go away? Or because I thought that was the premise of why they weren't going to play in the fall, and where did it go?
They need to answer that.
It's okay now in October?
They need to answer that question because that was put out there.
And there were a lot of people that were absolutely refuting those statements, and we talked about it. And I brought it to at Penn State, the guy that they put that out. People were out there. People in the medical profession were absolutely hammering that and saying it's just not true.
Right, but there were some that were concerned about it.
And there were plenty that were refuting that, right, that were very, very smart people are in that profession.
I go back to the analogy of we're standing on the rocks and we're looking over to, we want to jump in the water, and there's 10 people. You got 3 people that say, man, I'm not doing this. I don't know what's down there. I don't know how deep it is. Other people said, I've seen 5 people jump off. Everybody's all right. You know, the unknown, you can have differing opinions. But the mistake they made was they came out too early and made the decision for everybody without continuing to work towards a solution. And they put themselves in this position, you know.
Yeah, they botched it.
They absolutely did. But there's nothing wrong with being cautious. Being the cautious person is okay. But let's have a discussion. Let's take as much time as we have before you make the final decision. That is the mistake they made.
What Scott Frost was screaming? Wasn't that what Ryan Day and Jim Harbaugh and James Franklin were screaming? Their top coaches in the conference screaming from the mountaintops back when they initially, back at the beginning of all this? Wasn't that what their coaches were doing and saying?
No doubt.
That's what they were saying. Like, what are you doing? Like, why are you canceling? Like, hold on a second. Can we slow down? What do you mean it's canceled for the fall? Let's talk about this. That's what those coaches were saying. And oh, by the way, a lot of people killed Scott Frost and Nebraska for their stuff early on. And with the course here today, I wonder if those people will come out and then maybe apologize or backpedal, because all those national writers that were killing Scott Frost in Nebraska, I wonder what their stance is today.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. I believe, and I know that Kevin Warren's speaking right now, or he just spoke. I was reading some quotes from him. They jumped the gun, and whether they admit it or not, who knows? You know, at this point, it doesn't matter. They got to where they are. They're going to play. They're going to try to play at least. And that was my whole standpoint on it. Of the other conferences are trying. They're showing you that they have a model that will allow them to at least attempt to play. Now, are they going to finish the season? We don't know. We just have to let it play out. The SEC is still a couple of weeks away. The ACC has already had some trouble with some schools. Big 12 is up and running. But the point is, at least give it a try. And Willie, I agree with you completely that they rushed to it. They panicked. They thought, nope, there's no chance, and they made a decision, and now they're having to backpedal. Now, I'm not gonna give them a hard time for backpedaling. I thought it was silly that they made the decision when they did. They had more time, but at least they got here now. So let's see what happens, moving forward with the Big Ten and then the Pac-12. Hey, you're up, because now everybody else is playing. You're going to look extra silly if you just stand by and stick to your guns.
Well, the pride gets in the way when you make the decision early like they did, because that makes it tougher to swallow your pride and say, well, okay, we're going to turn around and change our mind. Because then you look wishy-washy in retrospect when all they had to do was wait. Because the other thing that we haven't brought up into the equation was everybody coming back to school. Every single university has had to adapt and learn how to continue to have classes, what's the best way to have classes, how do you handle the positive tests that inevitably are going to happen when everybody's living in the dorm. And so weaving that into your sports teams, that was something they weren't going to know exactly how it was going to go until they did it. So again, going back to, they made the decision before they even started that process.
Right.
So all they had to do was say, hey, let's wait. We're going to push it back. The SEC is really looking smart because they pushed it back even further. So they've had more time to adapt to campus life. And they've learned the hard way, right? They've had to shut down practices. They've had a lot of cases. You got LSU's coach saying our whole team has almost had it, which is, that's got to be scary for a lot of people to hear. I mean, hopefully none of those kids are sick or have anything that's going to, hurt their performance during the season. That's what I would like to know more, is are all these people asymptomatic that get it? Or are there some kids that, aren't feeling well and they're going back to practice and they're playing, but they're not 100%. I've heard some individual stories around sports saying, it took me a while before I felt 100%, even though I was kind of asymptomatic. I wasn't that sick. There's so many things to sort through, but the campus-like part of it was something that I think there's probably a lot of campuses that thought it was going to go one way, but they got hit with something as soon as everybody came back and they had to change, or they had to go to plan B. And that's just what we're all doing, right? We're adapting of how to live with this virus.
Yeah.
So the absolute decision that they made early on was the wrong way to go. Instead of just continuing to, we're working towards it. We're going to try to play. We don't know if we can, but we're hoping to play. But we're not going to make the decision yet.
Penn State's season, a football season, is worth $130 million for them. Michigan's season is worth $122 million. Wisconsin makes about $16 million per home game in Madison. Iowa, their home games make $14.5 million per home game. Nebraska makes about $12 million per home game. I didn't even say Ohio State what they're worth. We know it's up there with Penn State and Michigan. It's probably tops in the conference. I thought this was going to be the deciding factor from the get-go. It still played a deciding factor in all of this. I'm not going to credit them. I give them credit for at least backpedaling and coming back. I'm glad that they are going to attempt to try to pull this off just like everybody else. That's all I've said from the get-go. Just try. Not trying is unacceptable. It's just an unacceptable answer. I'll give them credit for trying. Whether they pull it off or not, we'll wait and see. But I'm really surprised when you hear those numbers that they were still able to overcome that and come to the conclusion that they did back way too early when they decided they weren't going to play in the fall with that at stake. They would have never made that in the spring. And now, by the way, they've positioned themselves if everything goes right. They don't have any wiggle room, but they can now still be a part of the national landscape of a playoff.
They could.
They could.
Now you talk about some interesting discussions of teams that have played 8 or 9 games, teams to play 10 games. We'll have to cross that bridge when we come to it, but that will be really interesting. They are really pushing this. The press conference is going on as we speak, right? I'm seeing various people tweeting tidbits from it. This is from Nicole Auerbach, who has been on this throughout. Northwestern President Morton Shapiro, it wasn't about political pressure. It wasn't about money. It wasn't about lawsuits. It wasn't about doing what everybody else was doing. It was the unanimous opinion of our medical experts. Well, I would really like to hear from the medical experts on this, because if that's true, which I kind of take that with a grain of salt, right? We know that there was a lot of pressure from all
on
kinds
all those
of
things
angers.
They listed.
All of those
no
things
way
he said,
those were not factors.
Those
there's
were
no
factors.
Chance.
You got to be honest. You got to be honest.
Yeah,
those were
all
factors.
Of that. But,
every bit of that was a factor.
But I would feel really good if they put a medical person up there that was representing the discussion and saying, here is where we were when we made the decision, and here's where we feel now, because that would make everybody feel better, wouldn't it? All the fear, all the people that have some concerns and fears and caution about doing this, if a medical person from the Big Ten, they were willing to shut the season down, now feels it's okay to play, that's got to be encouraging for everybody that is looking for reasons to play, right? Here's the breakthrough we made. It's the testing. It's what we've learned. It's the campus environment. I want to hear from that person. I hope that they put that person on the podium
today. They're
going
to have a lot of tough questions come their way.
You brought up another good one, Darren, the myocarditis. That's what we were hearing about. I want to hear them explain that. Explain what they saw. Because there are some kids that had it, right? Make us feel better that is not a concern.
Oh, I think they would get grilled on that.
But they deserve to. They're the ones that brought it up. I want to know more about that.
They deserve everything that's coming their way, but the fact of the matter remains that now they're at least trying. They were wrong at first, now they got it right. And so, you know, I mean, that happens, sadly, more times than not. But it's a prime example of, you know, the presidents were the ones that voted on this, and they were making the decision. What's sad that you brought up earlier, Darren, is they know the millions that it brings to their universities, and they seemed clueless. That really makes you feel good, doesn't it? Of how clueless they seem.
I mean, when you hear those numbers, I mean, there's no way you could ever make that up. It's lost. It's gone. If you don't, I mean, I don't know how they thought they were really going to survive. I mean, it just makes no sense whatsoever. Like I've said before, just because you have a title and you've got tons of degrees hanging on the wall doesn't make you smart. I don't bow down to people. Some of them are legitimate, but some of them have no common sense at all.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know how you thought you were going to overcome all this and how you couldn't see what the fallout would be. And, you know, I think it's going to be interesting.
Knew,
by the way, I also
want
to know
fallout.
The players – that opted out because they didn't think they were going to have a season, are they going to be quick to let them come back and declare they're back if they want to be?
Well, no question about it. I hope so.
They'd be stupid not to.
I know.
Oh, I think they want their best players.
We've called the NCAA worse.
As long as they're in school. Apparently there was a big meeting on Saturday. And remember, Sunday is when this story started to seep out, that they were moving this way. Apparently, there was a huge meeting on Saturday. The Northwestern president said he wasn't even convinced that it would be okay until the meeting of the medical experts made him feel better. So I'd love to know more about what went in specifically to Saturday's meeting.
We'll come back, talk to Bill Bender with Sporting News. We'll talk about this decision by the Big Ten, what's next for the Pac-12 and the college football landscape. We do that next on Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Bill Bender, Sporting News. Talk about the Big Ten decision. Let's do that. They have announced they're going to return to play football in October. Bill, what do you make of the decision? I know the president of Nebraska kind of let the cat out of the bag, but when this was kind of percolating and you know, over the weekend, what did you make with the now that it's official that they're going to try to pull this off in late October?
I mean, that's people have their mind made up, right? People are going to say, yeah, it's the right decision. Yeah, it's the wrong decision. You know, I think 43 days, they got all their medical protocols in place. They had a little bit of a PR nightmare along the way. I'm intrigued by the schedule. I mean, but the only thing here that they will have to contend with is there is not a lot of margin for error on that schedule, not having bye weeks. So that's what they're really up against, and that's kind of the, I don't want to say gamble, but I think we all know what they're dealing with across the landscape of college football.
What's Pac-12 is not the Big 12. They had a bad weekend. The Pac-12 is on the clock now. Where do you think this is headed?
Well, I think they probably won't play. There's other things going on in California and on the West Coast that might preclude them from playing. But you never know. I mean, maybe they'll be inspired. Maybe their testing program. You know, maybe USC and Oregon can lead a push, but, you know, it's 90 schools are in now. I think that spices up what – I don't know if you guys feel this way. I think watching those first 2 weeks, there's been a little bit of an empty feeling. And once the SEC and the Big Ten get rolling, it'll feel a little more complete.
Bill, we thank you for joining us. I know this press conference is going on right now. I guess the turning point, according to what's being said right now, was a meeting of the medical experts. I'm just really curious, what was the breakthrough? I guess a testing system that made everybody feel satisfied as opposed to what they did weeks ago?
I mean, daily testing, you know, 21 days. If an athlete tests, you know, the contact tracing, I think there's some different opinions on the heart conditions. I mean, but that's nationwide, right? Like, without being a doctor, people have different opinions on the virus. I see this every single day, you know, just as a parent. So I'm guessing that's what they're dealing with, and especially with football and all that kind of stuff. So, I think the medical, as they said in the press conference, when the facts change, the opinions change. And I guess it's medical opinion is more aligned with the SEC and the ACC at this point.
So we're all trying to wrap our arms around is, was there really a breakthrough, or do you think they just maybe – if they could do it over again, would have bought some more time and waited and just delayed rather than have the dramatic, we're shutting it down, and then have to sort of swallow their pride and come out? Or was there really a breakthrough that changed everybody's thinking?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, again, people, they're going to say whatever they need to say in this situation. But I think, you know, some people are going to write that they bowed to public pressure, you know, from parents and boosters, and there's probably some life to that, but I think, you know, if you're banking on your medical experts to make it safe, that's what you got to do. And, I mean, Kevin Warren obviously has taken a lot of shots in 40 days, and it's a bit of a – this, is to me, is a bit of a save. I don't know if it's a complete save situation, to use a baseball analogy, but because there's always going to be people that criticize him, but for them to get in the race at least, it's the – I don't know if I can even say it's the right move. I think it's the move that makes the most sense for the Big Ten at this time.
What do you think we're going to see down the road in terms of how you mesh everybody together? If they can stay on time, and that's the thing that we don't know, is how many games are going to have to be rescheduled, not be able to play on a Saturday. I feel like that's going to keep happening just because of what we've seen so far. But do you think they can marry this together and have the Big Ten part of the discussion for the playoff?
Well, yeah, I think Ohio State, I've been asked this question a lot about Ohio State, like how much Big Ten football do you need to see if Ohio State's a playoff contender? And my answer would be about one quarter.
I mean, so if they're 3-0, they might be able to get voted in.
Well, but here's the problem with that. I mean, I say that in jest. So, let's say Ohio State goes 7-1 and wins the Big Ten. Who's going to complain? A 9-1 Florida team, right? Because they'll have two more games,
right,
and those kind of things. And that is very real. So I do think, in a sense, and my colleague Mike DeCourcy just wrote about this. We kind of huddled this morning before coffee, of course. And I think it increases the margin for error off the field, or decreases the margin for error off the field. Like, a Big Ten team can't miss 2 weeks, one. And two, they probably got to go undefeated to get in. And I think that's something to keep in mind. Now, Ohio State might not have that problem, but that's just my sense of how that might work out, especially with the SEC playing the two extra games.
Bill Bender of the Sporting News is here with us on Darren Donick and Chase. So along those lines, and I know that nothing's going to be fair, and nothing usually is, but especially this year, nothing's going to be fair. Do you see at all any conversation that takes place within the college football playoff of a, we'll bring that word out, expansion, because of everything that you just said with, you know, all right, what if it's a one-win Florida team, you know, or a one-loss Florida team and a one-loss Ohio State? How do you think they handle that? Do they look at expansion?
They're not going to expand. it's not going to happen. Not this season. Not with the logistics of, the logistics of playing a four-team playoff are tough enough. I seriously doubt they would go to eight. In the conversations I've had with Bill Hancock, I just don't get that sense at all. So, fair? Nothing's fair. This year hasn't been fair to any of us in a lot of ways.
True.
So, the way I see it, though, is if we get a playoff, and we get a four-team playoff, and you guys are sitting here maybe calling me in December, and we're arguing about Ohio State and Florida, you know what? That's good enough for me. That we'll put one of them in. Somebody can be mad. We'll get back to business in 2021 and get the season in the way we want it.
We've talked to a lot of people in the last 6 months, and this question has come up of, with all the conferences doing their own thing, the Big Ten, the SEC, the Power Five, the Group of Five, the NCAA making their decisions, I say that in jest. At what point do you think that everybody will wake up, if they do, and say, we have to do a better job of getting on the same page? This has been a prime example. Yes, you can't plan for a pandemic, but this is a prime example of, we got to have a better plan where we're all together as college sports. Do you think that conversation is going to happen because of this?
I hope so. Because this did look very piecemeal. It was not aligned. I guess the call for the college football commissioner is very legit to me. Although I would say in this instance, a pandemic season, I don't know how much the college football commissioner would have made a difference, honestly, because at some point somebody had to say, yes, we're playing, and no. And I think that person loses popularity the second they say no. See Kevin Warren's mentions the last 43 days. So, but I hope so, yeah, because you want everybody aligned. You want more organization. And I think the pandemic kind of brought that out. There's much more to college football right now than just football. There's a lot of social justice issues going on. Name, image, and likeness is a topic. There will be an overhaul of the sport. I just don't know what order it is. And to me, if you had a guy a couple voices in particular, like a David Cutcliffe would be a perfect college football commissioner. Somebody of that ilk, you know what I mean? It doesn't have to be him, but somebody with that kind of voice and presence.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. You bring up Kevin Warren. The commissioner is such a tough job because they work for other people. Roger Goodell works for the owners in the NFL. But do you think that some of the shots that he's taken are warranted, though? That unfortunately, it comes on his watch, and so he's got to take it?
Yeah, that's nature of the job. And he said today that, it's his belief that the Big Ten is better today than it was 43 days ago. And, I would say I hope so. I grew up around the conference, love watching the football and that kind of stuff. But PR has been a little rough. I do think they showed a united front today, though, from the medical standpoint, scheduling standpoint, to everything he got organized over the last 40 days, which shows they just weren't doing nothing. Now, communication aspect, that's key in everything. Communication in relationships with the parents and the coaches and that kind of stuff, that's something that he's going to have to, soothe over the next couple years because, yeah, there's still some hurt feelings out there in the Big Ten for sure.
He's Bill Bender of the Sporting News. Bill, we appreciate it as always, and we will talk to you again soon, I am sure.
Yeah, well, we can talk about games next time, right?
That'll
be
awesome.
Thanks so much.
How
for
about
having
that?
Me on.
I know. That'll be nice.
That'd be awesome. All
right, absolutely.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Bill Bender at BillBender92 on Twitter. Stick around, though. We got much more to talk about with this, the Big Ten's decision, and we have a show announcement concerning college football that we'll tell you about a little later on. It's Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Appreciate Bill Bender for joining us. Talk a little college football with him about the Big Ten and the Pac-12 from Sporting News. We'll go down to Jacksonville, learn a little bit more about the next opponent for the Titans. We'll talk about the Jags coming up in hour number two. Tim Hasselbeck at high noon. Our weekly chat with him, Chris Mason, at 1 o'clock as the Islanders keep their season alive. So we'll talk about all things hockey with C. Mace at 1 o'clock. Something else that we want to pass along is that Paul Feinbaum will be a part of this show starting tomorrow. Every Thursday, he's going to do a weekly with us, and we're excited about that.
Oh, yeah.
You think he might have an opinion on the Big Ten?
I think he has an opinion on everything.
Yes.
He does not hold back. Yeah, Thursdays at 10:15. Thursdays are a huge day on our show. You think about everything that we have. Paul Feinbaum, Floyd, silly underdog picks, Elliot Friedman. So Thursdays are, I mean, every day is must listen, let's be honest. But Thursdays are going to be big. Really excited to have Paul join us every week.
Paul Feinbaum, our weekly starting tomorrow at 10:15 with him. So we are excited to announce that. I was reading while we were talking to Bill that John Wallner of the Mercury News has proposed that the Pac-12 have its California and Oregon teams play their games in Arizona.
California,
so they can have a season.
The California has got a lot of issues. You know, the wildfire thing, the air quality is a major, major concern.
Right, but you know what's interesting is when you say that, I thought the same thing, but that's why I was floored that Major League Baseball came out with their bubble when it was in L.A. and San Diego. I was like, really? They're going to California as a bubble city? Or a bubble state?
Yeah, that is strange. But, yeah, I did see that where the California teams might have to relocate to play the games. But it does seem like, there's going to be so much scrutiny on that conference to figure out a way to do it. If everybody else is going in, it's a classic peer pressure, right? They don't have their partner anymore.
Well, they usually, according to Vince, who always tells us that the Pac-12 just follows suit, whatever the Big Ten with 14 teams does. So if the Big Ten is coming back, I mean, don't we expect the Pac-12 to follow suit?
They're going to have to. Because if they don't, I don't know how they recover from that. I'm not saying they go away, but, I mean, that's going to be a tough hill to climb if they don't.
But don't you think, I think this is the case, way more of that area is not playing, for example, high school. Like they wiped out the high school fall sports pretty early too. So what was, as you use an example a lot, Darren, Ohio State is not playing, but there's high school football playing in Ohio. That was a tough one to marry for a long time, especially when you have more testing ability to mitigate risk on the college level than the high school level is. They don't have that juxtaposition or whatever the right word is out in California, because they wiped out everything.
Yeah. I'll be curious to see where this goes with the Pac-12, because I think I was reading something last night. Didn't they send out a letter as well, basically begging the university to, I don't know if it was from the players. I don't remember who was behind it, the parents. I was reading a letter last night from USC that one of the national guys put out there, and it was basically, you know, saying, hey, don't take this season away from these kids, and the same stuff that we've seen, right?
Yeah.
So, well, I guess that is some of that is going on in the Pac-12.
As long as that is matched up with, here's here's the way we can do it the safest way possible. You know, you can't just say we want to play because everybody wants to play. It can't just be that, because that's not going to sway anybody who feels strongly about the medical stuff. It's got to be, here are the medical, here's the data. You know, here's what we're bringing to the table. Here's what's been going on. We've tried this for several weeks now. Here's the data. We feel like we can play. We can add that next level of playing games. They're already practicing. They're working out, right? It's just adding, they're now they're in school. So it's just that next step up the staircase of adding competition and travel and those things. But so just bring your stuff to the, it sounds like in the Big Ten, they did that, right? They have a new testing system that makes them feel better about things, as opposed to what it felt like a couple of, whatever that was, several weeks ago, where they banged the whole thing.
Yeah, but I'll say this, because I agree that California, you know, that area, that's rough going right now. But we've seen bubbles work in the pro side. If they're not on campus in school and they're doing virtual learning, if they go to, you brought up Arizona, so if they go to Arizona and they play all their games in Arizona, don't you have more control over making sure that these student athletes are studying and going to their virtual classes, because you have everybody together? So you're there in the bubble. Now you're going to have to, whether it's the coaches or you have people that are there that are making sure that happens, but everybody's right there together. So to me, that would be a selling point with the Pac-12 of making this happen and making a bubble happen, because you can have more of a sense of control. They could pull this off if they wanted to.
Yes. Let's go to Steve. The screen says, from California, who's on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, guys. First off, I'm a big Titans fan and a big Preds fan, and I live in California, and I don't like the Sharks.
Wow. Well, you're a friend of the show immediately.
And so here's the deal about California. I think the only way they could do this is the bubble in Arizona. The problem is with the Pac-12. We have three governors in Oregon, Washington, and California who think they're president. And they're just taking the hard line that, you know, we're not having fans, we're not having any of this stuff, and it's just out of control. And that's why, part of why, you know, the Pac-12 is kind of in the position that they're in.
Are you in Northern California or Southern California?
I am. I'm in Northern California.
Okay. Are they playing high school football?
No, we're actually playing in, we start January 8th.
Oh, wow. So they've already pushed it, to January.
Yeah, and there's no guarantee.
Sure.
I mean, our CIM, they moved it to January, so they didn't want to do what the Big Ten did, which was cancel. You know, I don't know what it's going to look like in January. You know, we may not be able to play then. But they didn't want to trash the seasons before they, you know, had a chance to at least go forward. But, it's crazy in California. You know, we just have this governor who just absolutely toes the line and isn't, they're not willing to do anything. And I'm amazed that these sports teams haven't put the pressure on. You know, the 49ers don't have anybody in the stands. And, you know, there's a couple of major league teams in Southern California who owners have a lot of money. Some kind of Magic something owns part of the Dodgers.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'd think they'd put the pressure on these teams.
That's why we were just saying, I don't know if you heard it or not. I don't know if you were on hold or not. But that's why yesterday when the announcement came out about the Major League Baseball playoff bubble, I was stunned that California was one of the two states. I could not believe that they were going to hold all the American League stuff in Southern California.
Well, actually, the air quality here today is quite a bit better than it has been. So, you know, I think they're getting it under control. But, I am too, just simply because, you know, our governor doesn't like sports at all, apparently. So it's just crazy. I have a question, though. Can I ask you guys a question?
Sure.
So does anybody have any idea? You guys are in radio, so you would know this. Does anybody have any idea why the NFL took their feed off of TuneIn?
The NFL, or was it just a particular team?
All the NFL games used to, you could get home and away broadcasts on TuneIn. Now I can't listen, even on the app, because I don't live in Tennessee. I can't listen to any of the Titans games. I love listening to their announcers.
Okay.
But they took them off TuneIn completely.
Yes. This is something I know that's been brought up. Steve, thank you so much for listening to the show and calling in. Appreciate it. We'll talk about
thanks.
It, okay?
Okay.
This is something, guys, that has been brought up in the past. Obviously, nothing's changed on that front. I don't remember what we discovered when we went down this road when people were asking why it was no longer on TuneIn.
So
why you couldn't listen streaming or with all of, like, the ways you can listen to the show, you can't listen to a Titans game.
Correct. So the NFL controls their streaming rights. Most entities control their streaming rights. And as we've kind of entered this new world of being able to stream, you've seen a lot of leagues and, you know, different entities take control of that. And something that, you know, we try to do with anything here is we try to have that ability to stream because we know so many people listen on their devices now. The NFL is different. They have control of that. So I guess they had a deal with TuneIn and now they don't. And so that's why TuneIn doesn't stream those anymore.
This has been for several years now, right?
Yeah. I think it's been a couple years.
Yeah.
That they ended that deal. So because a lot of it, you know, a lot of it has to do with their relationship with Sirius XM, because they have the NFL on Sirius XM and you listen to every game, and I believe you can stream those from your phone. But again, you have to have a Sirius XM subscription. Mm-hmm. So that has to do with it. But it is, you know, that's the one thing, because you'll listen to obviously hockey and the NHL and baseball, but the NFL, you can't stream their games. Like whenever we carry a game on our air, we can't stream it. It has to just be over the air. So that's, and it's the NFL's right to do that, to control it, because they want to have, they want to be able to get as much as they can, so that's why they do it.
I see both sides of it. It's a tricky dilemma, because on one hand, a league should want access to everybody to be able to hear their team, right? But there's a value to that, and you know, I was thinking about this as I was listening. I was flipping around trying to find the game. I was picking up my son last night from his friend's house, and I was listening to the Clippers Nuggets. I was first fascinated by how the guy was trying to do it where, you know, the background noise, you don't have the surge of the crowd like you normally would. But I'm also saying, what is it like for this guy? This guy's been in the bubble calling all these games on the radio. You know, there's got to be the protected value of that broadcast, right? And so how do you put value behind it? You can't just give it away, right? There's got to be some value to it. So that's a tough one.
We'll come back. We'll switch gears and get back into the Titans on the other side to close out the first hour. We'll learn a little bit more about their opponent, the Jags, to start the second hour. By the way, congratulations to Barry Trotz and the Islanders. They get it done in the second overtime last night, a crazy game that I was watching, Eberle with the game winner. And the Islanders keep their season alive. Still down 3-2 to the Lightning, but Dallas will sit and wait a little bit longer. They'll have to wait till tomorrow night when they will play Game 6, and we'll see if Tampa can punch their ticket in the Stanley Cup Final, or can the Islanders push this thing to 7. Fun game last night. But we'll come back. More on the other side. Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Don't forget Silly Underdog Picks tomorrow. We do that at noon. This year, our panel, a very esteemed panel, picking one college game and one pro game this season. You still get to pick three games a week, and you can choose it however you want. It can be college or pro, any combination. So a little bit more to add. And, oh, by the way, once all this gets cranked up, you know, the SEC next weekend, Big Ten, possibly Pac-12 down the road. I mean, we could have all kinds of games to pick. So be looking for that. This week's prize is a $25 Party Foul gift card. And you can go to thegamenashville.com or ESPN The Game, our Nashville ESPN The Game Nashville mobile app, and sign up to make your picks starting tomorrow. So we're excited to have it back.
I am so excited. You and I have a little celebrating to do tomorrow. So
we do.
That'll be
bit.
Good.
It's and, about, hey, about time.
About time, because last year was rough for us.
Last year was really rough.
You and I were fighting for the cellar. I'll say this. It's been a rough
Now we're fighting at the top, Chase.
We are. It's going to get competitive because we know how you are and we know how I am. So it's going
to
get competitive.
And don't think I didn't send a text to Kelly Holcomb and Chris Sanders Saturday after Georgia Tech
got the overtime win. Mm-hmm. As you should. 2020 has been rough for all of us. So I think we deserve Pac-12 After Dark. I mean, Pac-12 After Dark is a Saturday tradition. And for underdogs and for dabbling, other things, we need some Pac-12
After
Dark.
Well, let me just tell you why I agree with that 100%. Big 12 After Dark doesn't work. Because I tried to do Big 12 After Dark this past weekend.
So did
and
I.
Watching Kansas and Coastal Carolina led me to drinking.
Well, me too, for other reasons.
You had something at stake, I didn't.
Listen, this week has been less miles, kickers, I mean, all these things have come into play over the past weekend, and it's not good. It'll drive anyone to drinking.
In just keeping with the theme of 2020, we are thinking about the folks down in Alabama and Florida with the hurricane.
Yeah.
Because I know Pensacola and Orange Beach is an area right there, that Florbama area is a place we frequent, where we went in late June and early July, because of, you know, we go down there a lot, and this year we're planning on going down there for fall break. We've never done a fall break since Maddox has been with us, because I've always been working and there's always been hockey. So fall break is just another week to us. But this year, because there is no hockey, we're going down there again, and we don't know right now. We're still kind of waiting to hear if anything has happened. But we're thinking about the folks down there, because I guess we've seen a lot of pictures. A lot of stuff has been sent to us, and our condo has been affected, or the area of the condo has definitely been affected. I've seen where Pensacola had a bridge. We always go to Pensacola to eat once, and that 3 mile bridge, I guess a big part of it's missing. That's over the water, so that area has been affected a lot. So of course, that happens. You know, thanks 2020, thanks hurricane. So So we're just thinking about those folks down there.
Absolutely,
no question, and it's so. It's so tough every year. It's becoming more and more routine. The wildfires out west and the hurricanes in that area. It's tough.
So as we talked about on the show yesterday, following up from the Monday Night Football game, there's an opportunity, a real big opportunity. You're saying it's week two. Yeah, well, okay. But you'll also see the numbers of what a 2-0 start can mean and what the odds stack up in your favor of being a playoff team when you start off a season 2-0. It's pretty darn good. And there's two teams in the division will have the opportunity to win a game and actually have a 2-0 start, and their names are not Houston and they're not Indianapolis. And so Tennessee and Jacksonville, one of them, the winner, has got an opportunity to be 2-0 on a very young season. But a 2-0 start is not a bad thing. We talked about the starts for the Titans, right, where they haven't gotten off to great starts. They've been able to recover and finish strong, but how nice would it be to actually get off to a really good start? They've got that opportunity starting this weekend with a chance at home against Jacksonville to start off 2-0.
Did we not have this speech last year, this exact same speech?
After they beat Cleveland, yes, we did.
Yeah, but they haven't had a 2-0 start since 2008.
Right, that's what I'm saying. They didn't do it. Right. We had the talk and it didn't happen.
I mean, they haven't. They either will win the first game or they'll win the second game, but they can't seem to win both of them. So it's 2000. I heard that stat last night. I was like, it's been 12 years? 2008? Really? It's been 12 years since they've started off 2-0?
That is pretty interesting.
That is amazing.
But as we've seen, there's ebb and flow, even in a 16-game season. I think there was another speech that Tim Hasselbeck was giving you a hard time about, Darren. The loser that goes 0-2, they're done. It's over. Was that the year before last? When was that speech?
Probably 2 years ago.
Tim gives Darren a lot of speeches, so
he does.
No, it's a reaction to Darren's speech though. Like
Benny from the
Bronx. Can't possibly recover from 0-2. But
he doesn't like Benny from the Bronx for whatever reason. Yeah. Benny from the Bronx is a sore spot with Hasselbeck. By the way, I was at that game, the second game of the season in 2008. It wasn't a home game, but I was at it. It was in Cincinnati. Remember, that was the season they started off 10-0. It was against the Bengals. It was high, high winds. Very, very windy day. Kerry Collins, of course, was the starter because the whole thing had happened with Vince in the first game of the season against Jacksonville. And we know Kerry would end up being the starter the rest of the way. But it was a really, really windy game. I don't believe the Bengals were that good that year. I don't remember how that season played out for them. But it was an ugly game, and the Titans would end up pulling away in the second half. But I was at that game. I went to Lexington. 24-7 was the final. I went to Lexington the day before, saw Kentucky eke out a win against MTSU. I mean, eke out. Remember the final play of the game? MTSU got all the way to like the 5-yard line before they got tackled. You know, the crazy play where everybody's, you know, just doing lateral passes, and they got close. But I went to that game and then got up the next day and drove to Cincinnati and went to the Bengals-Titans game.
The 2008 Cincinnati Bengals went 4-11-1.
Yeah, they were not good then.
They were not.
08 would have been Carson Palmer?
Yep. Yes, sir.
I don't – was he not hurt? I don't remember Carson Palmer playing in that game.
You know what? He was hurt. I think it was Fitzmagic, actually.
No way.
He was the backup
on
that team.
Bengals?
He was.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't even remember him with the Bengals.
Yep. He played 13 games that year.
Holy cow.
Let's see. It was early in the season, so it could have been Palmer.
I remember the Bengals not bringing much to the table in that game. We didn't know at the time how special that Titans team was going to be. We didn't see a 10-0 start. They had made the playoffs the year before. We knew they were
Palmer
going to be good.
Palmer played that game. Two picks.
Palmer played that game. Wow. Yeah. So, you're right, Darren. Getting back to the thing. This is a big opportunity. And I think, you know, with the extra playoff spot, you're going to see a team have a better chance of sneaking in there at even 8-8, right, with the extra way to get into the playoffs. But, you know, you got to rack up the wins when you have a chance. And I feel good about the momentum that this team has, the continuity, what they brought back to it seemed like teams that had that, the Saints would be another example. The Titans were an example on Monday night. The teams that had everything in place last year and didn't make wacky changes, I think had a good recipe to start and deal with all of the things that everybody's had to deal with, less practices, less pads, no preseason games. Hopefully that will serve them well against Jacksonville.
Although that did not work for San Francisco.
No, but I think they faced a building team that had the foundation laid in the Cardinals. You know, they built their foundation last year with their new coach, new quarterback, and just added
Nuke.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit different because the Cardinals, it's 1 week, but you know, watching them last week kind of made me go, all right, well, that's going to be a fun division. They're going to make it interesting.
That is going to be a fun division. Le'Veon Bell placed on IR. Honk if you've heard that before.
But is this the IR that can get you back in three
games,
IR
is
this
different.
Out for the season IR?
No, it's not out for the season. No.
The NFL finally did what they should have done 30 years ago with IR and made different levels of IR, because how many times did a guy get shut down for the season when really he probably was out for a month, but they had to have the roster spot, so they just had to put him on IR. Now they have different levels,
yep,
which I'm glad they did.
Let's come back and learn a little bit more about the 1-0 Jags. We'll talk to Mike DiRocco, who covers the Jags. He's the ESPN NFL Nation reporter for them. We'll do that on the other side. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.